a like a hypothetical situation, you tell me how you would respond.
Sure.
Okay. What I'm going to do is propose the situation, and then I'm going to add variables and see if your behavior changes. Does that make sense?
Sounds like a psychology experiment.
Yeah, it's like a thought experiment. Exactly. So, okay. No variables, plain situation. There is a dish that you really like to eat. You're home by yourself tonight. You have it in mind. You decide to make that dish or not.
Yeah.
So do you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Always. Because you love it and you want to eat it, right?
Yeah, but also like, all right, I'll let you do your thing.
Okay, let me add a variable.
Okay.
The particular dish that you like your wife Maddie doesn't like that much because of whatever. For whatever reason, she doesn't love it. So if she's around and she decides like,
I did not know where you were going from this.
I'm
going
to eat.
Now I know exactly where you're going.
I'm going to eat something on my own. You make whatever you want. Are you going to make that dish that you love? She's already eating something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let me add a variable.
Okay.
Maddie doesn't like the dish. You really, really want it. She's already made her own food. She's going to eat something different, but, adding a wrinkle here. The smell of the dish grosses her out. Are you still going to make the dish?
If she gave me express written consent.
Okay.
If she was like, look, I know you really want that, so go ahead and make it. If I was like, hey, I'm going to make that thing, and she's like, it smells terrible, please don't make it. I would say, absolutely not. Of course not.
Okay. I'm going to add one more layer of complexity.
Okay.
Regardless of whether or not she gave you, let's say you've gotten the express written consent. You know she hates the smell of it.
Mm.
She's already eaten something else. Mm. Last layer of complexity. You know that the smell grosses her out. Last layer of complexity is, regardless of her written consent, she's pregnant.
Ooh. Big no.
It's a no. It's a no.
It's a no from me, dog.
That's a no. I mean, that's instantaneous doghouse. Yeah, even if she told you yes.
What, yeah, no. Ugh.
Like, what? If somebody was, let's say that the food was something really strange, like a combination of macaroni and cheese with like cheap grocery store packaged star-kissed tuna. Can you imagine?
Oh, it just like made my lip curl. It really did.
Like, I think I have a tick in my right eye right now.
Yeah, you're just like Dobby's comforting you.
Yeah, she
because is. She knows you're visibly distressed.
Yes, because the thought of the smell of tuna mac when you're pregnant. Gosh.
Let's just talk. Look, I'm not like a pouched or canned tuna guy anyway, because pouch. I just said the phrase pouch or can to describe where my fish is collected in. Gross. Like,
here's the thing.
Listen, I had an experience with it. I was not a good math student in high school. Okay. Still not a good math student. I don't study math.
Who is?
Yeah. But somehow, my beloved math teacher in my junior year, who I love dearly, I was like, should I go to this one or that one? He's like, you go to this one. The one that it was calculus.
Yeah.
The one that I was like, all right. Anyway, your boy missed the week where they explained derivatives, which is what calculus is. Because there was a death in the family. Your boy was out all week.
Right.
Came back. I'm like, what are we doing? Well, it's literally the rest of the year.
And it's the foundation of everything.
Right. Exactly. So I would probably 4 days a week. I either spent lunch or I would go to school an hour early to be with that teacher.
Right.
And on numerous occasions, that teacher would make tuna.
Stop.
While teaching me. And like a couple times it like splattered onto my
paper. Oh no. No, game over. Die on
tuna impact. Paper splatter, band name.
Pouch tuna juice splatter. Like now look, here's what I'm saying. I'm a big mac and cheese guy. I love mac and cheese. I even love like just straight up cheap, like Kraft and cheese.
Give me Easy Mac all day, every day.
This is what I'm saying.
Gosh. But SpongeBob shapes.
I'll take the mac and cheese. Sheesh. But if you're going to have pouch tuna, put it in outer space. Like put it on that Sputnik. Mm. Like get it out of here. I don't want it anywhere near me.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Gross. Pouch tuna.
So the reason that I asked you that question, of course, is because friend of the show, our creative director, our content king, our Photoshop genius, realtor, Young Life teammate, just all around amazing guy. Like 99.9% of the things about this guy are so amazing. Rob Logan. Like if you give him the chance, he is going to mash on some tuna mac. He's gonna smash it. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that Rob and his amazing wife, Erin, are now pregnant. Ugh. Congratulations.
Yeah.
But his pregnant wife.
The noise I made was not at their pregnancy. It was at I'm still at the tuna. Obviously, I'm very excited for their baby.
It's just that the tuna is so upsetting.
I can't get over the tuna. I keep imagining
it's
it.
It's like.
And I keep seeing it just fling onto my paper.
Just. Here's how you do this derivative, Thomas. Splatter.
Yeah. No comment, man. Nobody addressed it. She didn't notice.
Here's what I'm saying. Erin is pregnant, and Rob is like, you know what? You know what I want? I'm thinking I'm going to have a little tuna mac. And she's like, And he's like,
I can't think of a stinkier dish.
Well, fine. I'll just go make it outside.
The only stinkier dishes also involve fish. Like, lutefisk. Like, shouldn't think of other stinky... stinky options.
Oh gosh. Well, it's just one of those things where it's like the thing that you love to somebody else is just so unappealing.
Yeah.
Like have you ever seen that episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza says that he wants to be ensconced in velvet?
No.
Yeah, he has this whole speech about how if it was socially if it was socially acceptable, he would be ensconced in velvet.
Right.
And they're like an entire suit made out of velour velvet. And he's like, yes. And then one day he walks into Monk's Coffee Shop, like wearing an entire, like pants and like jacket. It looks like a track warm up. But everybody else is just like, why?
Ugh.
It's kind of like how me, like I like when you go to the dentist and they scrape your teeth.
Yeah, I do too.
I like
that. It's fine. I mean, like, there have been things that were that way. My opinion's been changed on.
Sure.
Like, various, dairy replacements. And I think you helped me do this because...
Yeah, you're a big...
You're not a dairy king.
You're a big oat and almond milk guy?
Yeah, I'm definitely a big oat milk guy. Like, and I like almond... I'm probably not going to use it for my cereal.
But tuna mac?
Tuna mac. Gross.
And the thing about Rob is like he's like, you guys just don't know how hard it hits when you put the red pepper flakes on it.
Golly.
Dude, here's my thing, Rob. Red pepper flakes don't take away the smell.
Yeah, let me say, like, I mean, we're in a bunker.
Imagine being pregnant and somebody's making tuna mac in
house? We're in a bunker. Zombies are crawling at the door. Thomas, the only thing we have left is tuna mac.
Give me the zombies.
Give me the zombies. Bite here, me. Guys,
you can put some red pepper flakes on my brains.
Just put it in my eyes.
As you eat them.
Yeah. Oh.
Welcome to Ancient and New.
Sheesh.
Erin Logan, you're just a queen. I mean, the fact that you put up with the tuna
put up
mac
with it,
way you
put
do.
Put up with the tune.
Gross. Do you have a scripture you want to take us to?
Sure.
This is a Bible study podcast. We're going to talk about some scriptures that have been encouraging us, and they had to encourage us. We needed some encouragement after just finding out that our dear friend would just make his wife go through the nasal gauntlet.
The good mac and cheese name.
Oh gosh, you have a wonderful, you know, pot full of steaming Kraft mac. Then you just crack open that tuna pouch.
We had some Singaporean friends in this past weekend. Yeah. And can you imagine Edwin a guy who loves mac and cheese more than anything. If Rob would have been like, here, try this variation.
And then
he would have left.
He would have been on the next plane out.
Been see ya, Tennessee.
And Rob would be chasing behind him, but red pepper flakes.
But I put red pepper flakes. Gross.
It doesn't change the smell.
You know who's loving this right now? Who? Austin. Because he is not getting roasted and he gets to be a part of it.
Oh, yeah. Although I did... I did see that they were like the bottom of the barrel projection for the 2022, like, offenses or something like that.
Of course.
That.
They should, why would tough. They not be?
Yeah. It was tough. It was like, it was offensive play callers.
Ah. And
Eli Drinkwitz was like 7 slots higher than,
oh gosh,
than Kentucky's
goodness
offensive coordinator.
Mr. Beaver just didn't hire the right guy, I guess.
Where are we going?
Isaiah 40.
Oh.
Well, okay. I was reading a Mark 1 the other day, and it obviously this little passage of scripture is quoted. Yeah. So I was thinking of it.
It's an all time.
But I think it's an important scripture.
Yeah,
they're all important, but like this one, I think is like, man, I'm just gonna dig a deeper hole if I keep talking. But here we try to keep the heresies at a minimum in this podcast.
That's got to be the title of the episode right there.
That's my biggest fear.
Keep the heresies at a minimum. Carry on. Take us to the good word.
Well, I think this is cool because this is prophetic of one JTB.
Yeah.
Who shows up in the Gospels at night.
Every podcast is somebody's first podcast.
John the Baptist. I'm sorry. I don't know why. That's never been abbreviated before, ever.
I'm sure Potsy said it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Except he would say JT Bap.
Yes. JT Bap. Okay, so I think I'm going to start verse 3, and I just want to talk about this one little bit. You may hear various background noises. My child is screaming a few rooms over, and my wife is with him, so it's not that we're leaving him to fend for himself.
We just left some tuna mac in there.
My dog, who just comforted Lee in his obvious distress about the tuna mac.
Yeah.
All right, Dobby.
No, please.
Thank you. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. I think it's funny, like, I have my, like, go-to thing when I read this. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I mean, I definitely have, like, the things that makes me think about really quickly, and I have my, like, yeah, this is the thing I need to remember when I'm reading this. But yeah. it was kind of replaced this time a little bit. But the idea of making a highway for our God, we're just gonna, like, I don't know. We were driving back from Chicago. Maddie and I've done a lot of driving, and I've done a lot of driving over the past month. Like we went to. We went to the beach, we went to Atlanta, we went to Chicago. We just kind of bounced around. And you, like, when you think about the interstate system in America, and like it was built with a purpose. It wasn't just like, it wasn't just like someone would just.
Partially historically because of our town.
Yeah, because of Oak Ridge, basically. Did you know every bridge is a minimum required height for an 18-wheeler transporting a nuclear weapon to be able to go underneath. Yes.
Get the stuff
out. Yeah, so there we go. They had a purpose when they were laid, and it was for that. But across the world, that's the case. It's like, okay, how are we going to... We need to either, one, transport things much easier because railways can only go so fast. Right. And, there's not airstrips everywhere in the world, whatever, or like water travel is only so quick or whatever, however you want to do it. But they're made with the idea of like, we're going to get to this place as quickly and smoothly as possible. Nice. And when you're going through Indiana, it's not
and straight.
It's just, Indiana, it's straight and it's flat and it's level. I'll never forget driving through, the Mojave Desert in California.
Wow.
and it was 111, and it was literally like, it was just dead straight. And you just see salt plains on either side of you. Yeah. The most barren, but it was, you know, it's like it was the quickest possible way for us to get to this place. Like there was no twists and turns about it. It was just, here's the purpose of this. And I like the imagery of, okay, let's make a highway for our God. Not like a roundabout, not with stop signs, not with traffic lights, not crosswalks, but literally like let's lay the road, make it flat and straight and possible. And it goes on to say that, right? Like raise the valleys, lower the hills and the mountains. We're going to make this as flat and straight as possible. And
it's so interesting that you were talking about our trip to Chicago because, and I cut you off, but I love this idea. Like when so Thomas was driving in one car, I was driving in another one, Christy Fox was driving one, and Janet Sims was driving another one. And we had all these high school kids. Well, when we were on the first leg of the journey, Donnie Duffield was sitting shotgun in the car I was driving. And we were driving through like the Blue Ridge Mountains. Mm-hmm. And there's several places where there's just like cliffs on either side of the interstate system. And Donnie was like, why are there these cliffs? And I was like, oh, well, they cut the road out of the mountain. And he was like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, they would just dynamite and then carve out of the mountain so that like there's some rising and falling on the interstate. Just you can't get around some topography. But when there was a quick rise, they would literally just dynamite the crap out of this hill. So that the road, exactly as you said, could stay as flat as possible. And it's like, and I love this idea of like, there are some things in my life that have become too important and I need to dynamite those things and level the road down so that it's easier for me to get to Jesus. It's easier for Jesus to get to me.
Yeah. And I'd go a step further and say, like highs and lows in my life.
Yeah.
Are there like my peaks and my valleys? Like what can I be doing to fluctuate those a little bit, to compress them? That's a good word.
Compressor. That's a great word.
To that, musically speaking, someone out there who knows music was just like, oh, there it was. That was the thing I needed. Exactly. I mean, it's a thing I constantly, Matthew. Reese. Thank you. There you go, Matthew. By the way, never mind. I'll save that one for later. I need to constantly be reminded of this because there's constantly things like hitchhikers on the side of the road with their thumb out that are slowing me down. And it shifts. Sometimes it's the same thing. Sometimes it's something I never thought about. And it's good for me to reread that one and think about it and take inventory.
Like, or there's a road like Key Springs that like in certain kinds of weather, I won't even go on it.
Right.
Like it's just this really steep road with tons of switchbacks. Mm. And
it's literally an escape route for our town. If something bad, like it was made like, there needs to be a sneaky road to get out of our town. Yeah. And it's exactly what it is because our town is weird.
It is. It's a weird town. But it's such a difficult road to drive on. Whereas if you're on I-75, it's just flat, smooth, straight, and you're just zooming.
Yeah. The car I drove to Chicago, and Maddie's new car has this like feature where you can, if you put it in a cruise control, it'll also like, it's a safety feature. So where like, if you fell asleep, it would correct your steering wheel, but literally you take your hands off the wheel and it keeps you between the lines.
Oh my word.
And you can keep yourself a certain distance from the car in front of you. So theoretically you could set your speedometer to 100 miles an hour and never get there if you keep a car in front of you, cause it'll just keep you a certain distance.
Wow.
And, I don't know. I personally don't love the imagery of a you know, cruise control on my way to heaven. Like I want to give it all I got, but
yeah, you want to throw the pedal down, and that's easier to do when you've already set the table with the highway. It's like, I was talking to a friend recently who was just saying like, I'm just realizing that I haven't put a lot of the behind the scenes effort into making this faith grow in me. Like I think this is such a beautiful way to talk about. So what do I do to grow? It's like, make a highway.
Mm.
It's like Jesus wants to come into your day remove obstructions.
Right.
Make it easier and faster for him to get there.
Yeah. Anyways, there you go.
That's super cool. I want to read from 1 Timothy chapter 1, but I want to read it out of the Message. So for those who don't know, the Message is a translation or a paraphrase of the Bible done by a guy who's in heaven now. He was a pastor of a little church in, I think, like New Hampshire, and Massachusetts, different places. But
Eugene Peterson?
Yeah, Eugene Peterson.
I think it was Northeast.
Yeah. He's from the Midwest, but he's from like one of the Dakotas or something like that. But I'm probably botching this, but I didn't do the homework on Eugene Peterson. But he realized at a certain point that the people in his congregation, they just had heard scripture so many times that they just were like glazing over when they heard it. And so he was like, it feels like highfalutin and old school and religious, and I need people to experience it like in everyday language. So he did a paraphrase. That's what the Message is. And sometimes if you haven't done it in a while, it's cool to check out the Message just to have a new approach. I want to read, this is going to be around verses like 9 and 10. This version of the Message is kind of broken up into chunks of verses. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "Don't be embarrassed to speak up for our master or for me, his prisoner. Take your share of suffering for the Message along with the rest of us. We can only keep going, after all, by the power of God." Okay, now, this little turn that he's about to make, this is the part that I really, really loved when I read it. "We can only keep going, after all, by the power of God, who first saved us and then called us to his holy work. We had nothing to do with it. It was all his idea, a gift prepared for us in Jesus, long before we knew anything about it. But we know it now. Since the appearance of our Savior, nothing could be plainer. Death defeated, life vindicated in a steady blaze of light, all through the work of Jesus." This just hit me in a sweet way because I think because of just being able to approach it with some different language, the way that he said, okay, we've been given a gift and it's all through the work of Jesus. And this is what it is. Death has been defeated. Life, like real life, has been vindicated in a steady blaze of light. Like, that filled me with hope. I think it filled me with hope because, it's really easy for me to have like a kind of a narrow focus on whatever the frustrations or the problems of the day are. Like this little issue that I don't know how to fix, or this person's problem that I don't exactly know the answer for, or this thing in my schedule or in my family that's wearing me out or whatever. And it's really easy for those things to become aggravating and loud. Mm-hmm. Like if you had like heat seeking goggles, they would be like the bright oranges and yellows. Mm-hmm. Like the way the Predator sees in the old Predator movie. Like that was a peace offering to Rob.
Okay, yeah.
He
probably shut it off already. I feel like Rob rage quit this episode pretty quickly.
He threw his controller on the ground.
Yeah, he spiked it. Facepalm spiked the controller. Get out.
Dang it. That little Predator reference was for Rob. So like the things in my vision that would be like the hottest would be like the granular problems that I don't know, have an answer for, I can't fix today. And what I love is the widening of the lens of this. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, buddy, don't forget this. Jesus gave you this gift. You didn't have to work for it. You didn't have to earn it. And here's what it is. Death forever defeated. Full real life is absolutely yours in a steady blaze of light. Mm-hmm. It's like such a cool thing. Like death is over. You're going to live forever. Like every now and then you got to widen the picture and just enjoy the fact that like, yeah, I've got this money question I don't know how to handle. I've got this relationship that I can't exactly fix, or I've got this problem that is right in front of my face and I don't know what to do with. And every now and then it's good to just back up and say, but you know what? I've been given a present, and that it is, death is defeated. I'm going to live forever, and it's going to be glorious, beautiful, and amazing.
Mm, I think that's cool. I'm going to go back to the start of that, which I thought you were in 1 Timothy 1, so I was so confused.
Did I say 1 Timothy? I'm sorry.
I think you did.
2 Timothy.
Okay. Well, I could be wrong.
The book of 2 Timothy. That's my bad.
Yeah. It's okay. I may have misheard you.
I probably said the wrong thing.
Okay. So I spent a lot of time flipping through 1 Timothy while you're reading. I was like, wait, maybe he said 1 Timothy 5. No, maybe it was 4. Oh, anyways. My bad. No, but the moment I picked this up, it said, and it, when you spoke, the things that stood out to me were that, so don't be embarrassed to speak up for our master or for me, his prisoner. And I've realized in my life that the people who are like the most, this is hilarious, just in fiction and like in my world, but like fictional people I look up to the most when I'm reading stories are people who are uneasily embarrassed. They're just comfortable with who they are, and they're not shaken. They're not afraid to be who they are. And I'm not saying that they're jerks. I'm just saying like
Dustin in Stranger Things.
Not even that. I'm like Tom Bombadil is who pops in my head. Yeah. You know, he just is. He just is who he is. Yeah. He's unwavered by things of the world that affect other people.
Yeah.
And it like maybe a lack of embarrassment is a poor way of describing him, or same thing with like, I think a Dumbledore. We just finished the new Fantastic Beasts movie, and I don't know. There's just things like that, and I think about and like I do think there's a truth to like at some point in my life and over again in my life I've had periods where I've thought like, I don't want to be afraid. Mm-hmm. I don't want to miss moments where I want to be attuned enough with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit to say like, and unembarrassed and unafraid and just like unjudgmental. I'm making that up, but like unjudgmental of myself and others enough to say like, maybe this conversation or this person being here is happening for a reason. And it's easy. I say unjudgmental because I think it's easy for me personally to like, just, you know, go through my day and assume or whatever, like, or, you know, I'm going to pass by this person doing this thing and not think about it. And I don't want to miss tugs on my heart that the Lord may be doing to like, I don't know, maybe like there's always been a thing in me. It's like, I've always wanted to be bolder about like preaching the gospel to people randomly wherever. And I think one thing I've always been made this way a little bit is I don't want to get to the end of something or at any point in my life and say like, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. Yeah. And there's actually, it's like a personal fear of mine to like miss things like that, which is so funny, but like that may be the most heretical thing I did say on the podcast today, but like to miss moments that the Lord has put in front of me, not be afraid, not to be embarrassed to say what I believe. I the thing I wanted to talk about today that I did not, which is funny also to say, I didn't feel great about where I was going with it, but the place in Mark chapter 1 where it talks about how the people in the temple were so impressed by Jesus' speaking because he spoke with authority. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading a Spurgeon sermon at one point that talked about how one of the reasons why Jesus was so compelling was it was because he believed what he said. He believed it. There was nothing shaking his belief about what he did. And obviously he has some things that we don't, obviously. But like, I want to be that way in my life. Yeah. I want to just be so apparently and unequivocally and unshaken about what I believe and how I feel about it that like, I take moments that otherwise I wouldn't. And I don't compartmentalize my faith in my life. I don't compartmentalize my quiet time from the rest of my day. Like,
yeah,
I don't compartmentalize Jesus with who I am. And this is completely off topic from what you talked about. You just, this one thing struck the thing I've been thinking about for weeks.
But the thing is that they're related and connected as well, because it's so interesting. It's like one, 2 Timothy, Paul, it's Paul's last letter. It's the last thing we have from him. He's an old man. He's at the end. And this is the last, this is the last thing he's going to say to this dude and to us. And so he's at the end of the road, and he's just like, which he was never afraid anyway of anything.
No,
even
no.
when he was super wrong.
And that was the other part I had two things. I was like, I just don't know if I have all the footing underneath me to talk about this. So I went to the other thing. The part two was the way Acts ends.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Paul's on house arrest for 2 years, and it just said he welcomed anybody who came and he talked about the gospel with him. And I was just like, that's so cool. Like, you just had your door open.
And well, so another piece of this whole thing with kind of the thing that I was talking about widening the lens and realizing, like, we've been given this gift, death defeated, life vindicated, to use your word again. There's a weird thing that's happened in our culture. This is a stupid example, but I'm going to try to make it work. There's a weird thing that's happened in our culture where, like, when I was a kid and a teenager, the nerdiest thing that you could care about that you would be too embarrassed to tell people is comic books. I loved comic books. I spent a lot of money on comic books. I knew a lot about comic books. I went to comic book shops, and I even went to a convention. Liking things like comic books and Star Wars and stuff like that. That was like a really niche kind of nerdy thing.
Yeah.
But especially the comic books. And now, because of now that specific style of nerdery has been completely vindicated. It's the coolest thing in the world. I wore a Guardians of the Galaxy t-shirt to the Lavender Festival, and I had like four people tell me like, oh, that's a cool t-shirt.
Yeah.
When I was in middle school, that would have been social death. That would be the nerdiest thing you could possibly do, is to wear a Guardians of the Galaxy t-shirt.
Yeah.
But the world has come to recognize, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
There's coming a day where the eternal life that's offered in Jesus is going to be vindicated as the only kind of life. It's going to tip. Everybody's going to see him. Everybody's going to see that it's the deal. And what Paul is saying is like, hey, don't be embarrassed of the master. Yeah. Don't be embarrassed of me. The way we're doing life, everybody's going to see it one day. Death defeated, full life in a blazing light. It's this life. It's what we have.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid.
Right.
So I think all that works together.
Cool.
Yeah. You know what doesn't work together?
Is some of it the most delicious thing ever made and the other thing the stinkiest thing ever made?
Hey, right on the target.
Right on the target. pouch fish. Hey, you know what? You know what's a good idea? Let's squeeze this fish into this pouch for someone later, after it not being refrigerated, to squeeze out of the pouch.
I know, you just get it on an aisle in the grocery store that's not refrigerated.
Yeah. Whenever I think of a can of tuna, I think of that SpongeBob episode where they're... Do you see the hooky one?
I don't know. You're going to have to send it to me.
It's like season one.
You know what apparently saves it, though? Red pepper flakes.
I love red pepper flakes.
Oh.
You're ruining the red pepper flakes.
This is a gross misuse of red pepper flakes.
Don't misuse RPFs, man. You don't want to do that. Grody. It was like a little bit, and like she did relish mayonnaise and tuna, and it like flung onto my paper.
Ruined my day.
With a cracker. And like, it would just be like in the corner of her mouth she was like, yes, this is how you do the derivative.
That's really tough.
I got a C- by her grace. Which is like, that was like, that wasn't me being a slacker. That was like, I am doing this. And she saw it. It should have been a D. And she was like,
wow,
C-.
Wow, the world is a merciful place in certain pockets. But if you're pregnant and trying not to be grossed out by smells in your house, apparently you get no peace. Guys, thanks for listening. Gross. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
You're seeking sacrifice. or for me to act like everything's alright. You are looking for a lie, where I pretend that there are no tears in my eyes. So I will cast my cares on you, because you care for me, and I will worship you in truth. That means I'll come for you just as me. You aren't asking for a show, where I make believe I've made it on my own. You aren't waiting for big words. Child, to be with you by your side, and to tell you how I feel. Discover once again your love is real.